All right. Again, thank you all for being here. After our morning service here, we want to invite even our guests, if you would like to come down with us. We're going to have dinner downstairs, and then we will have a early evening service this week for the winding up our missions month. And so I want to encourage everybody to stay. We always have plenty of food, and I want to encourage you to do that, time of fellowship and just praising the Lord. And I know I had some sample of some enchiladas yesterday. I got to taste the sauce of it being prepared and ready, and then some jalapeno dipping sauce. And, you know, so I know there's various things down there that are really good to eat. And if you walk away hungry today, spiritually and physically, well, it ain't my fault. And I'm glad you're here. And if you'll open up your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 28, winding up our missions conference and our missions month, I wanted to talk to you. Now, I talked to Miss Carol earlier this week, and I told her what I was going to do of this message is I was going to get me a yardstick, and I was going to walk up and down the aisle and smack those who were not paying attention. And I'm not going to do that, but I might. I might throw something at you. And the reason I'm preparing this is because when I tell you the title, most people are going to automatically turn it off and go to lunch and not be here. I'm going to talk to you today about faith giving. Now, again, we are going to deal with the financial end of it, but there's more about faith giving than just money. And so I want to be an encouragement to you today, and I want to help you to understand the Word of God a little bit more. And again, our goal for our missions conference is so that we can take on some more missionaries. We've got a man right now that Sister Carol handed me a paper of. There are great needs everywhere. Now, at one point, we did support Brother Bell, he is starting and working on a work in Covington, and that is not a real good area. That's a very difficult area, and again, into a lot of areas where he is in new fruit. And again, when somebody gets saved, you know, they don't automatically start giving tithes and offering. They don't automatically know that it's their responsibility to take care of their pastor. These things have to be taught. And in the meanwhile, the man of God still needs to be taken care of. And just something, I'm going to throw it out here. We have been taking love offerings each Sunday, and I know you may not be prepared this Sunday, but we'll put it out again. I'm going to put out an offering plate here. We need to take an offering for Brother Bell. He right now is just really struggling financially. His car has been broken down. It cost him over $3,200 to get it repaired, and he's not been able to get the money to redeem the car yet. So he is having to pay extra at the mechanic's shop for it being stored there. And they've also run into some other financial problems here, and they've put out, and so far they've only been able to raise $500. So what I want to encourage you all to do, let's pray about what God would have us to do about redeeming Brother Bell's car. He would be extremely grateful. I believe God would bless us for it, and so that you can pray well. It's a 2014 Ford Taurus, and no comments, brother. So keep him in prayer, and as far as that, and be praying about what God would have you do. We'll deal more with that here in a little bit. But as you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to have Brother Cleo come, and I want him to read verse 18 through 20. 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. I know this is all familiar scripture verses to us. Most of us could probably quote these. If you can't, you ought to memorize it so that you can. But with that being said, sometimes when we look at these situations or these verses we're really familiar with, we kind of skim over them and we don't pay a whole lot of attention to them. But we're going to focus on some things here today. So Brother Cleo, if you'll come.
Morning, beloved. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
All right. Well, that's in the book of Matthew. In the book of Mark. And again, the word of God, and when God preserved his word for us, he preserved it perfectly, infallible. And it is the divine inspired word of God. And, I always go through the Bible, you know, as I'm reading, and I kind of look for patterns and things that are set up. But the gospel, the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is covered in each one of the gospels and even in the book of Acts. In Mark chapter 16, in verse number 15, it says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke chapter 24, in verse number 46, in verse number 47, it says, And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John chapter 20, and verse number 21, it says, Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Acts 1, and verse number 8, it says, But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, some things that I want to point out to you about these scriptures is that is the Great Commission. That is the church's call to arms, if you might say. And I want to kind of point out some things to you here to help you understand what the Word of God is talking about here and who he's talking to. Obviously, he is talking to the first church that the Lord Jesus Christ established himself, and he is sitting in many of these areas in the upper room with the disciples and that he had trained and taught, those 12 plus more, and he began to tell them what their responsibility was upon his ascension into heaven. Now, you know, today, you know, there's a lot of versions of the Bible going around, or I should say the books that contain some of the Word of God. But what we have in front of us here is the Word of God, and wording is very important. And as you read through these verses, one of the things that really sticks out, and you see it over and over and over and over and over again, and that is the word ye. Now, a lot of times in other versions of the Bible, that is switched over to you. Well, that is a mistake and that is wrong. You say, now, wait a minute, what's the difference between you and ye? Aren't they the same? No, they are not. Let me illustrate it to you. If I give Sister Tanya a command and I'm talking to her directly, I might say, Tanya, you go downstairs. Now, That didn't mean I was talking to Lisa. I was talking to Tanya. That was directed to her. Now, if I said, okay, all of ye need to be busy. Ye is plural you. It's also individual. And what that means is the Great Commission is for you and 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 you. What that means, it's an individual plural command to the children of God with no exceptions. And again, in understanding that, we need to understand what is being given here and what is being said. It is our responsibility. It is each born-again believer's responsibility to take the gospel into all of the world. Now, how do we get that accomplished? We're going to deal with that as we go along here. But, again, I just want you to understand, again, over and over again, I just think it's amazing in Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ brings it up, and Mark it's brought up, and it's kind of almost like, if you didn't catch it in Matthew, here it is in Mark. If you didn't catch it in Mark, here it is in Luke. And if you didn't catch it here in John, here it is in Acts. And if you don't catch it then, well, I'm not trying to be unkind, but... I kind of wonder, are you even born again? I want to talk to us this morning. The first thing about faith giving that needs to happen in our lives is you must first give of yourself. First, you must give of yourself by faith. You see, a lot of people... get things all mixed up. And first of all, we must give ourselves by faith and putting our faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary. You know, if you're not saved, you're not capable of reaching someone else. The first thing in order to be able to reach someone else, it's just simply, you can't sell something that doesn't belong to you. You can't give away something that you don't own. You know, I could take Miss Dolores and talk about her Toyota, and I could make a deal with John about a Sister Dolores' Toyota to sell it to John. Well, there's only one problem. No matter what price we get, whatever price John and I come to, whatever decision we make, whatever promise I might make on the delivery date, there's only one big, huge problem. It ain't my car. I can't sell something that isn't mine. I can't sign over a title and give it to someone else or sell it to someone else if it does not belong to me. You know, I really think one of the reasons that the church today is not reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have some of y'all that are sitting there who've made professions, but you're not truly born again. You say, oh, preacher, are you trying to get me to doubt? No, I'm not trying to get you to doubt. But what I'm trying to get you to do is realize faith and trust in Jesus Christ is important. And we have a lot of folks that are church members. We have a lot of folks that are baptized. We have a lot of folks that are doing some good things. But if we're going to reach this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that we must have is have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is that one who has redeemed you, who you have called upon His name, who you are putting your faith and trust in Him, and you've asked forgiveness of your sin, you've asked Him to take you to heaven when you die, and you are trusting in Him 100% plus nothing, minus nothing. You know, you can be a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church and give every dime that you own to missions or to the church or whatever, and still die and go to hell if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can walk around and do good works. You can be a kind person. You can be the most thoughtful person. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're still going to spend eternity in hell. And you know what the job of Faith Independent Baptist Church is? It's to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. To help them understand that they need a Savior. It's not church membership. It's not good works. It's not baptism. It's total faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And giving yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The second thing that we need to look at in faith giving is giving in service. You know, sometimes it's really hard for us to give ourselves in service. Because again, what we understand in giving in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's work. Right, Sister Sandy? we got a fall festival coming up. And praise the Lord. We're letting her handle it. We gave it to her. Well, it's work. It's sacrifice. It costs something. And it's something that has to be done by faith. So we need to have faith in our service. Now, I'm going to take you to some verses. If you'll open your Bible to Malachi chapter 3. And some of you are saying, oh, no, I know where he's going now. I know what he's going to read. Yes, I am. And I'm going to put it out there. And I'm just going to put the facts exactly where they're at. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7, it says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes? Notice that's an S there, plural. In tithes and offerings. Notice that's also an S. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye robbed me, even this nation. Even this whole nation. Now, he was talking to the children of Israel. But folks, this applies to the church. Remember, each dispensation in the Word of God, God has a group of people that he works with and through to proclaim the gospel. In the Old Testament, it was the children of Israel. In the New Testament, it's the church. You say, well, okay, good. Oh, wow. If that's true, then this does not apply to me. Wrong. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. God preserved it for a purpose and for a reason. He allowed us to see where Israel failed so that we can succeed. And again, the charge here is robbery. Now, the last time I checked, robbing is a crime. Now, I guess it all depends today on what state you live in. but it still is a crime. It is wrong. It is sin. And the charge here is robbery against God. Folks, do we realize God can see everything? God knows everything. You can't hide anything from him. You know, you might be able to do some work under the table and hide it from the Internal Revenue, which that's a no-no. But you know who you're not hiding it from? You're not hiding it from God. And believe you me, you keep that up, you won't be hiding very long from the Internal Revenue either. And that's another message for another day. But the robbery here, the charge is robbery. It says, but in verse number 8, the middle of the verse, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Now, is that talking about money? Yes. But remember, there's an S there. It's also talking about what we just made reference to, your service. You know, when you refuse to do what God asks you to do, when you refuse to have a part in the Great Commission and taking the gospel to the world, when you refuse to reach your neighbor for the Lord Jesus Christ, the charge for that crime is robbery. Folks, tithe simply means a tenth. It's getting really quiet. Tithe means a tenth. You know, sometimes we're willing to grab out the old wallet and shell out the money so that I can keep my time. Well, thank you for your offering, but that still doesn't exempt you from your time. God expects us to give our time. You know, if we tithed our time, we'd have that available time to read the Word of God. We'd have that available time to pray. We'd have that available time to go knock on doors. We'd have that available time to go and to spread the Great Commission and to spread the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we have the best kept secret. And that's eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it such a secret? Well, because we're spending too much time robbing God. Now, folks, do you really think that robbing God of the tithe of your service, you're going to get by with it? No, you're not. It also goes on and says offerings, plural. All right? We're going to make a reference to the money part of it in a little bit here. But if I'm to tithe my time, you know what I ought to probably be doing as well? Making an offering of my time. That means going over and above and beyond that which is expected. You see, the tithe is expected and the amount is set. And that is a tenth. That's not something you can say, okay, God, no, I don't think I'm going to give a tenth. If you don't, you're disobeying God. Amen. And you're stealing. You say, well, you know, I gave a fifth. Well, you stole 5%. A tenth. Now, you take that over into your time and your service to God. We all ought to be tithing our time. I tithe my time. And then what we ought to be willing to do is go and give over and above, which is an offering. Now, with an offering, the difference between a tithe and an offering, the amount is not set in an offering. The offering is determined by what God lays upon your heart. What you pray and say, God, what would you have me to do? And God lays that upon your heart, that place of service, that thing that you should be doing. Now, I believe with all my heart, folks, as tithe is commanded, so is offerings. But for now, we're talking about your time. And we're talking about your service to the Lord. We ought to be willing to go to the Lord and pray and say, Lord, what would you have me give this week of my time? We already know the tithe. But Lord, what offering would you have me to give of my time? Well, you know, how would you help? Where do you want me to step out of the ordinary? Where would you have me serve and do something for you or for someone else? And when we do it for someone else, we're doing it for the Lord. And Lord, I want to give you an offering of my time. But the charge here, the lack of it, is robbery. Now, service. The verses that we're reading and understanding about our service, again, were the last commandment given by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Great Commission verses. They are marching orders that Jesus Christ gave to the church. The point here is, and understand this, the church didn't give the command. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, gave the command. A missionary or a missionary board did not give the command. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who gave the command. Your pastor did not give the command. The command comes directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes directly from God Almighty. And we need to understand that because, see, sometimes, you know, we might say to ourselves, you know, well, the preacher, he's going off on a tangent and we're not going to pay any attention to that. Well, you're not disobeying me. You're not disobeying the church. You're not letting down a missionary. You're disobeying God. You're robbing God. And you say, you know, preacher, you keep saying that. You keep saying that. And, you know, well, it's the truth. And in church, we need to stop robbing God. Because when we rob God, he says, ye are cursed with a curse. Do you think God is going to allow you to continue to rob him and get by with it? No, I don't think so. And what you got to realize is he not only gets his time, but it also takes more. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When you put one seed of corn in the ground, Brother Ken, how much do you get? You get a whole stalk full of corn. And so we ought to serve. We ought to tithe. We ought to be giving an offering. The Great Commission was given by God Almighty. And he expects his church, that's ye and ye and ye and ye and ye, I won't go through the whole thing. He expects the church to obey. You know, growing up, you know, when my dad left for work, he gave us some chores to do. And he didn't say, Mark, would you like to mow the grass? He said, Mark, when I get home, the grass better have been mowed. He didn't say, Mark, would you like to rake the leaves? He said, when I get home, the leaves have better been raked. The trash had been better taken out. And if he got home and it wasn't, well, bless God, he got out the belt and warmed my hind end up. And I remember the next time he gave me an assignment, what happens if I don't do it? God expects his church to obey. You know, some of the things that take place in our life and some of the things that happen are happening and are there because we're robbing God. We're disobeying. And God is not going to permit. Now, I'm not saying everything. But what I'm saying, and you let the Holy Spirit of the Lord convict you where he needs to convict you. Now, then, not only tithing of our time and our service, then we must give of our finances by faith. Folks, I know nobody likes to talk about it, but we do have to do this at least once a year, all right? It was this time last year that we talked about it. We, church members of Faith Independent Baptist Church, God commands you to tithe. God commands you to tithe to this local church. You see, that's how we get things done. That's how light bill gets paid. That's how things get repaired. And a host of other things. And God does not ask. God commands. And we must give by faith. You see, now wait a minute, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. You just don't know the finances in my home. I can't afford it. It's just not there. You know, God's math never adds up the way we think it should. I can't afford to tithe. But you know what I do? I tithe. And I've not done without. When I have a need and I pray, God fulfills it. God takes care of it. And now I'll admit there sometimes it's a little scary and I'm thinking, Lord, here comes those Egyptians, and in front of me is the ocean and or the sea. And, Lord, if you don't do something quick, he's always on time. He's always on time. He always delivers. He's never late. So we need to be giving by faith. Faith, and I'm going to put this other word in here, and I know some of y'all don't like this word, but as we go here, we'll understand it a little bit better. Faith, promise, giving is a biblical principle, not a man-made principle. Now again, don't make me get my yardstick out, folks. Stay with me. Stay with me. I know some of you don't like this word, but you know what my goal is today? Is to help you understand what faith promise giving is. And I want to help you understand that today. Faith promise giving is not found in the Bible as faith promise giving. Nowhere in the Word of God will you go to a scripture verse and it will say, "Thou shalt give faith promise offering." Now, you say, okay, well, then why are you talking about it, preacher? It's not in the Bible. Well, do you believe the Trinity? I challenge you, go to the Word of God and find the word Trinity. You'll spend a lifetime searching and you'll never find it because it's not in there. But the principle and the doctrinal teaching of the Trinity is all throughout the Word of God from the beginning to the end. Folks, the principle of faith promise giving is throughout the entire Word of God. And I'm going to show it to you, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down here to help us understand it. Because I really want you to understand this. Faith promise giving is not found in the Bible as faith promise giving. However, the principle is taught throughout the Bible, and not just speaking of money. Again, we've already dealt with that. There are two principles behind the words faith and promise. Let's break that down. Let's look at that. And I really believe it'll help you understand why we keep mentioning it. Maybe it won't sound so horrible to you. First, the principle of faith. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38 tells us, "The just shall live by faith." All right, we talked about it this morning in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." The principle of faith is we step out not having all of the answers, not having not knowing maybe how it's all going to end or how it's all going to work out, but stepping out on faith. Just like when you had faith. Faith is throughout the Bible. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith on what He did on the cross. And what you're hoping for is that the faith that you put into the Word of God and what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary, that when you die, you'll spend eternity in heaven. So your salvation is by faith. Your Christian life should be about faith. Your service should be about faith. Your giving should be about faith. Your tithe and offerings should be about faith. Because the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Second, the second principle is the principle of promise. God never asks His people to take a step of faith without giving them a promise to go with it. What did He tell the children of Israel? When you step in the water, the water will part. When did the water part? When they stepped into the water. What did they have to do? They had to act on faith and step. And when they stepped, the water separated. God asked him to move on faith, and he said, if you move on, if you'll do this, this, I promise, this is what's going to happen. God has always said, if you will do this, I will do that. All throughout the Bible, when God says, do this, I'll do that. And God says, you take a step of faith, and I promise I will respond to that affirmative step of faith. The reason most of the time, folks, we never see God move in our life is because we refuse to step out on faith. We want to know everything. We want to know how, where, when, you know, and what it all going to look like at the end. You know, for the Christian, it just doesn't work out that way. If you would have asked me in 1996, would I be pastoring Faith Independent Baptist Church, I would have told you, Lord, no. No. But each step of faith that I took in serving God and going where He told me to do, He's always taken care of me. Always. Never, ever, ever, ever has there been one time in my life where God has failed to take care of me. When I step out on faith. You know what happens sometimes? I decide, nope, no way, no how, not gonna. I can't see what's going to happen. I can't see on the other side, and there's just no way I'm going to do this because, well, it's just too uncertain. It's those times when I get let down. And it wasn't God that let me down. It was me and my stubbornness and my lack of faith and my lack of trusting in God. Even though I can look in my life and I can see, hey, God took care of me here, God took care of me here, God took care of me here, God took care of me here. 2014, was in a bad automobile accident. The wonderful fellow that hit me was out having a good time. Praise the Lord. Well, no, we can't praise the Lord for that because good time he was having wasn't a good time. He hit me broadside. I wound up with two broken vertebrae in my neck and a shattered shoulder and $170,000 worth of medical bills that my insurance company would only pay $50,000 of that. I was off the road. I understand what Brother Bell's going through. I was off the road, and being off the road for a missionary and not being in churches and getting love offerings and not raising support, you know, it tends to get really tight. And doctors and hospitals, they call, they want their money, and they want it now, and they don't care where you get it or how you come up with it. But today, of that situation in my life, I stand debt free. Amen. God paid the debt. Amen. And you know, that year in my faith promise giving was one of the years that I gave the most. I gave the most when I had the least. You say, well, why did you do that? That's kind of foolish, don't you think? Well, because when I prayed and I asked God, God, show me what it is that you want me to give this year in faith, promise, missions, giving. And whatever it is, I'll give. Well, Lord said, give this. And I said, oh, Lord, wait a minute. I already don't know how I'm going to get out of this mess. But see, again, as I said this morning in Sunday school, I was looking at the storm. He was looking through the storm and on the other side. Amen. He knew how he was going to do it. It wasn't no surprise to him. It wasn't no guess to him. He knew how he was going to weather me through that storm, and he did. He was faithful. I acted on faith and promised what God told me to do, and he promised to take care of me, and you know, he's never failed me. Now, when these two principles are integrated, the result is faith promise. You know, folks, that's where we get faith promise missions giving. Because we're acting on faith and promising and depending on God to fulfill his promise. The faith principle, the principle of faith promised applied in the area of our Christian life. We must do it. A faith promise, let me give you some things faith promise is not. Faith promise is not faith promise is not your tithe. Faith promise is not your tithe. I really want you to understand this. Faith promise is not your tithe. Faith promise is not your tithe. In Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 30, it makes it very clear, the tithe is the Lord's. And if you are tithing, and I pray that you are, and you should be tithing to this local church if you are a member here, our lovely guest here, we do not expect them to tithe here at this church. They need to take that back to their home church. Tithe. Faith promise is not your tithe. You should never take your tithe and think, okay, now I and I'm just going to put a figure up there, okay? My tithe is $100, and I'm going to take $10 out of that $100, and I'm going to put it into missions. Wrong. You should never do that, because your tithe goes to the local church. The faith promise is not your tithe. He has already designated the tithe to the local church. The giver is where the giver is a member. The same is true with faith promise missions giving to support missionaries. God has ordained the mission work to be done by and through the local church. Faith Independent Baptist Church missionaries, or members, you should be giving your faith promise to Faith Independent Baptist Church. You say, well, why? Well, that's how we support those guys. That's how we're going to be able to take on more missionaries this year. By you giving your faith promise to your local church. Not to someone else's, to your local church. Second, faith promise is not a pledge. Now understand this. Faith promise is not a pledge. Now I'm going to pass you all out a card at the end of the service. There's no place for a signature. I'm not asking you to make a contract with Faith Independent Baptist Church. What I'm going to ask you to do is go home this week and pray and ask God, how much faith promise missionary offering should I give? And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to put that number on this card. And next week we're going to pass the offering plate around again. You say, well, if it's not a pledge and if it's not a contract with the church, why are we doing the card thing? Well, that helps us budget to know how many missionaries we can take on. That helps us budget to know how many missionaries we can continue to support. Faith promise giving is not a pledge. No one is going to come to you from Faith Independent Baptist Church and say, hey, you didn't give your faith promise missions commitment. Well, because no one's going to know. Your commitment of faith promise giving is between you and God. Nobody knows what that figure is except for you and God. And you're responsible to God for that. And so faith promise is your commitment between you and God. Again, there's no signature. A third, faith promise is not figure out what I can give. You know what a lot of people do with faith promise giving? They go home and they look at their finances. And they think, okay, well, if I cut this and this and this, and if I don't do that, then I can give this amount over to here, and then I can do this. Faith promise is not a figure it out. Now, oftentimes we talk about that, and I make reference to, I know you can give in faith promise because of things that we buy. I taught this on every foreign field that we were in, and I taught folks to give in faith promise. You know, and as poor as everybody was in all the fields that we served in, they all had cell phones. And all of them had just about the latest and the greatest that came out. You know what that tells me? Well, they have what they want. Faith promise is not figure it out. Faith promise is going and getting on your knees before the Lord. And I would encourage you to spend some time praying. I would encourage you to spend some time fasting and asking God, God, what should I commit to faith promise? So what is faith promise? It's a simple principle. God showed me this week, and it's really good. Open up your Bible to Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. I've seen this verse over and over and over again, and God gave this to me, and I thought, wow, okay, all right. It totally makes sense. Faith promise missions giving is a simple principle. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Let me find it here. I still think I have it in my Bible here. It hadn't been taken out. Okay. It says, give. You see that little comma there? That means stop, take a breath. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Faith promise is a simple principle of the Word of God that says, give, and he would what? He would give back. And then he goes and he describes how he's going to give back. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say possibly. Or if God hasn't misplaced his checkbook, it shall be given to you. Now, he describes how it should be given to you. Good measure. You know what that means? He gives you back what you gave. You say, well, if you're going to give it back to me, why should I give it? Obedience. Faith. Remember, it's impossible to please God without faith. So he gives it back. Good measure. Then he said, goes on to say, pressed down. You know, again, we can kind of think about gardening and going through the field and picking green beans. Which some of y'all have done this, and this year, and you've got your basket, and you're going and you're picking green beans, and as you're going along, you're filling up that basket, and you're yielding from that crop what was planted in that crop. And then you're going along, and that basket gets full, and you don't want to walk back to the barn to get another basket. So what do? You put your hand on it, and you push it down. You press it down. Why do you press it down? So you can get more in. And the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down. Well, you really don't want to go back to the barn to make that extra trip. So you take that basket after you've pressed it down, and you start shaking it. You start shaking it so that the beans line up and they fall in so more can be put in there. And then he goes on to say, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. it finally gets to that point where you're dropping more beans on the ground because there's no more room in the basket to put any more in. Faith promise missions giving is a simple principle of faith and promise. And what God said, you give, and it shall be given unto you. And then he goes on to say, shall a shakedown and running over shall, see that next word? Men, give unto your bosom. You know what he's going to say? You know what God's saying there? I'm going to use other people. And it may not even be Christians to give to you and to take care of you. And then he gives this last part here. For with the same measure you meet, wherewithal it shall be measured unto you again. Sowing and reaping, folks. You sow a little, you get a little. You sow a lot, you get a lot. Now that principle works in all of our life. When we're sowing our time, when we're sowing our service, when we're sowing our faith promise missions giving, when we're sowing and even bad things in our life. You know, when you sow bad things in your life, well, that's what you get back. And again, that principle applies there as well. you get a whole lot worse than what you gave. God gives the promise in the same proportion as the request. The same proportion as the request of your faith in the same verse. He urges us to give. He then tells us that he will give it back. He continues the same in the verse of what he expects us to give back. Folks, God wants us to live by faith. God has given us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's given us the tools to do it. He's given us the finances to do it. And he's aware of everything that is going on in the world today. And I promise you, you have been uniquely designed by God to handle it. You say, well, how can you be so sure? You're here and you're alive. You're here and you're alive. God told us he'd never put on us more than we can bear. And so he's put us here in this time and in this day and in this age to reach this generation and this group of people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, I want to encourage you. What are we going to do for missions this year? Are we going to advance? Fall back? Or stay where we're at? The way I look at it, folks, staying where we're at and falling back are one and the same. So I want to encourage you. What is God telling you to do? Will you go home this week and pray and ask God, God, what would you have me do for missions this year? You say, oh, well, preacher, you don't know what we're going through in our family. This year is just not a good time. I guarantee you it is. I promise you it is. I promise you God will take care of your need. You say, well, how can you be so sure? Well, I've got the Word of God. I've got a simple principle out of Luke that said, if I would give. You say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, I believe I ought to wait for it to come and then give it. Brother Ken, when you plant a garden, does the crop come up before you plant it? No, it doesn't. He can sit out there and wish all day long and say, hey, I'm going to have a whole field of potatoes. But if he don't go out there and plant the potatoes, they ain't coming. If you don't go out there and plant it, it ain't coming. And the charge for disobedience is robbery. Amen. Church, I love you. I want to see you grow in the Lord. I want to see you, and I want to see our church be a lighthouse in this community. I want to see souls saved throughout this area, and I want our church to start a revival in this area for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How are we going to do it? Well, by giving. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for them listening. Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to examine our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to pray this week, to fast this week, and decide what is it we can do, or what is it that you would have us to do for missions. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to commit and then fulfill that commitment in your name, Lord, so that we can reach more people for you, Lord, so that we can help more missionaries out. And Lord, when we get letters like from Brother Bell, where we could just write a check and say, hey, Brother Bell, let us redeem your car. And Father, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in the service. Lord, I pray that there'd be anybody that's lost today, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts, that they would accept you as their personal Savior today. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.